Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll do a little Bible study here. A Sunday school lesson. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we'll jump off with this. Brother Milton, would you pray for this Sunday school lesson? Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, look at this, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Today we're going to just take a few minutes here in Sunday school. We're going to look at something that part of this, or maybe most of this, or some of this, I've already done in the men's Bible on Monday night. We were, the topic Monday night was the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and how nowadays, there's churches, there's seminaries, and if we were to send some of these young men to a seminary, he'd probably come home believing that there wasn't a virgin birth. It's a horrible thing. It's a foundational, it's a fundamental of our faith. You know, to stand up and say, I'm a Bible-believing fundamentalist, boy, that puts you in a... people have changed the definition of those things, and it puts you in a real strange place. But I'm a fundamentalist. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the resurrection. Those are fundamentals, and if those things aren't true, well, we're wasting a bunch of time. The wind is low. The humidity's right. It's a great day to go fishing, okay? So I believe those things to be true, and they're fundamental. And one of the main evidences, or one of the main reasons that we teach of a virgin birth is this fact that you've heard before, that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and therefore he got his seed from God, and therefore he had no sin nature. How many of y'all have heard that before? Okay. And I got to looking at that, and you know, I'm not saying that that's not true. I'm saying we need to explore and see exactly what this, what we're calling a sin nature. And then we'll understand it a lot better, because when you look at that, you think, and you don't have to admit that you thought this, okay? And if I'm putting this thought in your mind, I apologize. But truly, if Jesus Christ didn't have a sin nature, he had a lot easier time than I do. Have you ever thought about that? That something's not right there. And what I've just said is not true, because we put a spin on sin nature that I don't believe belongs there. This is where they get the part about nature. The Bible says here, Paul said, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we're going to look at this sin thing, and we're going to look and see how it relates to you and me, and how it related to Adam, and how it related to Jesus Christ, and see, just kind of get a better idea of what all this is about. So turn to Romans chapter 5, and as you go there, I'm going to quote a couple, or read a couple of other verses to you. We're going to look at some verses in Romans. As far as sin and me, or sin and you, and if I keep saying sin and you, I mean me too. I'm not excluded from this, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's pretty clear. In Romans 3, 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That pretty much covers it. And we're all, you know, it's fairly easy to take this group and tell you you're sinners, and you all shake your heads and smile. You know, you go to Walmart and do that, you don't get the same response, okay? Or you stand down at the seawall and proclaim it, or go to the Alamo and stand in the plaza and proclaim that you are a sinner. They don't take it as well as you do, because you believe the Bible, and God said that we're all sinners and we've all sinned. And in Romans 6:23, we all know that the wages of sin is death. And so if you're going to sin, what you get paid for that, your wages, is death. And so we all understand that. We understand that effect on our life of sin. But look in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." Now, who would that be? Adam. Adam. It's pretty clear. "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Well, we understand that, Romans 6:23. "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Boy, that just sums up everything I just told you. I should have went there first. No, what we've got here now is we totally understand that because of your old daddy, we're all sinners. We get it from our father. And our father, our lineage runs to Adam. And because he had sin in him after the fall, we have sin in us. And that's where we get the word sin nature. We get our sin nature from our father. Now, my father and my grandfather, and I don't know how far back, has in their DNA my grandfather died in his 40s with a heart attack. My dad died at 77 with a heart attack, but before that, he had multiple bypasses. The last one was five at one time. It's a bunch. And, so there's something in my DNA that says I ought to be careful about, because that's in me. It's in me that I need to watch those kind of things. Look at this. Look at what Paul says about sin and us in Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 18. Paul says this, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." And what he's trying to say here is that sin, he knew it, he said, it's in my flesh. Because of Adam and his fall and our lineage and the blood that's in us, You don't have a sin nature. It's not something that you just kind of like picked up. You know, say, I don't have a cardiac nature. I got something that's in me that causes that problem. And let me inform everybody here. We all got sin in us, and that's the problem. That verse I read back in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it said, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world." Meaning it entered in. That was the door that opened that let sin into us. So as far as a sin nature, what you've got is sin in you. It's part of you. Galatians 5. Go there real quick. We'll look at Paul's writing the Galatians. And in Galatians 5, verse 19, there's a list here, and it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." You go down that list, and what are those things? You know, short, sweet answer is sin. And that's what your flesh manifests because it's in you. The works of my flesh is to have a heart attack because it's in me. You're getting where I don't have a nature to have a heart attack. Okay, that's where we go a little bit askew on this, and that's why it'll make a little bit more sense to you in a minute. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Because you know, there's another verse here. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, you've all heard this. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So here we are. Everyone in here that's saved, guess what? You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Why are y'all still sinning? You new creatures. You see what I'm saying? This sin is in your flesh. And you may get born again and have a new spirit and be a spiritual son of God, but you're still walking around in flesh that has sin in it. Okay? Look in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Here is a real important part about all this sin nature, and you've got sin in you, and the answer to it. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign, look at that, in your mortal body. You've got sin in your flesh, that ye should obey it with the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God and as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He goes on down here to verse 16. Know ye not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye whom you obey, whether it be sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You know what? We're all new creatures in Christ if you've been saved, and that is just as true as the Bible is. But here's the other part. We still sin because we choose to yield, to obey, to submit to sin as opposed to righteousness. Everyone, you make a conscious choice to do that. I do too. And so that is the reason that we say we have a sin nature, and it still affects us. Okay. And that's the reason that pastor and everybody else gets up here and preaches against sin all the time. You know, you would think if once you were a new creature that we wouldn't have to do that anymore, that he'd just get up and preach how wonderful everybody was. Well, they do that in other churches, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Look in verse 19. Romans 6, 19. I speak after the manner of men because the infirmity of your, look at that, the infirmity of your flesh. You see, that's what I have as far as cardiac deals. I've got an infirmity in my flesh. That's what sin is. It's, you were born with a birth defect. Okay? You got sin in you. Okay? I speak of the manner of men because the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members unto service to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members to servants of righteousness unto holiness. So what Paul's saying here is we all got it. He's went through Romans. He's explained that there's none righteous, no, not one, that the wages of sin is death. And buddy, you got it in your flesh. And he admitted he had it in his. And he said the answer to this is quit yielding to it. Quit yielding to it. Quit obeying it. Okay? So, go back to Ephesians chapter 1 where we launched, and I want to show you just one thing. You say, man, it's such a pretty day outside, and I thought I'd come to church, and I thought pastor would be here, and man, yeah, yeah, and now he's up here telling me I'm a sinner, it's in my flesh, I ain't got, you know, man. Yeah, well, let me tell you, God told me first, okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 2, and he's talking to the Ephesians, and he's telling them this stuff was in the past. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's a spiritual birth that you've had. Wherein in past time, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That happens to be Satan, the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in past times with the lust of our flesh. How many of y'all this week, you don't have to raise your hand, I know I have, I've had a conversation with the lust of my flesh, okay? It wants to talk to me often, okay, because it's in me. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, past tense, by nature of the children of wrath. So truly, you found the answer to your sin problem. It's Jesus Christ. And it's this new spiritual birth, but you still have sin in you. And the reason it reigns in your body is when you decide to make the choice to let it reign. You have, God gave you a free will. Okay, if he'd made us all robots, wouldn't even need the book. He'd just program us, we'd do what we said. But you were born, and I was born with a free will, and we actually have the choice to obey or disobey what God says. Bottom line. Why do you sin? You disobeyed God. Why do you have righteousness? You obey God. It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. Disobedience is a choice. Now, we've got Adam. I've already trashed y'all. Let's see what we can do with Adam. It said, for by one man sin entered in. And we knew that was Adam. Okay? Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Let's think about Adam right now. Most of y'all have read Genesis. You know the story. God created him, and he said in verse 26 of chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then he made man. And let me ask you this. God created man. He created Adam. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Before the fall, this is right after, did Adam have a sin nature? No. Did he have sin in him like we do? No. Okay. But he sinned anyway. What's that all about? He had a great advantage over us. He didn't have any sin nature. He didn't have sin in him. Let me show you this. Look in chapter 2, verse 17. Or verse 16. Or first, let's go to 15. They keep looking better. And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. At that moment, did Adam even have the knowledge of good and evil? He sinned. You see, that it really got me when I read that. I go, here's Adam living in paradise, walking with God. So far, he's got one commandment. Don't do that. And you can freely eat of all this, you know. And yet, he didn't have a sin nature. He didn't have sin in his flesh. And he didn't even know the difference. He didn't have no definition of what's good and what's evil. And yet, he sinned. Anybody got a suggestion? He's got a free will, and turn to Romans again. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 19 this time. We were up there in 12 reading about Adam. You skip down to verse 19, it says, for as by one man, that's the same man, By one man's, look at this, disobedience, many were made sinners. And by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You know what he did? You know how he sinned? He disobeyed God. He took a willful choice and disobeyed God, and boom, the whole thing happened. But he didn't know what was right or wrong. He had no knowledge of good and evil. God had made him with a will. He could do, you know, and he used it. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 11 and 12 just because I like reading those, and then we'll get to the text. Let the woman learn in silence and with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I can't read verse 13 and 14 without reading those two. You always read your Bible and put everything in context, okay? Verse 13, and this is in the context. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You know what? Eve was deceived by Satan in that garden, and she ate of that fruit. Adam knew it, saw it, and decided, I'm in. He made the decision. And so, that's Romans chapter 5, verse 19, by one man's disobedience. Okay? So, just like us, We sin, or we choose to sin, but through disobedience. God's given you the knowledge of good and evil. It's in your lap. And he made it a lot clearer than he, even after Adam fell, he had the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't have it in writing. We got it in writing. That's the importance of that book in front of you. God means that stuff enough. He gave it to you in writing. You can't change it. So he obeyed his will and not God. This is Adam. He obeyed his will, not God's will, because he chose to disobey. Okay? And he did all of that without a sin nature. Okay? After the fall. Now, after the fall, let's see. He's got the knowledge of good and evil. Right? And the first thing he did is what? He knew him and Eve were naked. Naked. Okay? He knew that they had done wrong and they hid from God when God called them. You see, all of a sudden everything's changed because now he's got a knowledge. And when confronted, what did he do? He did what every good man ought to do. He blamed his wife, okay? No, that's the first thing. He shucked the responsibility. He blamed Eve. So they had, both of them at that time had the knowledge of good and evil, okay? Adam just chose to disobey. And when sin reigns in our body, we choose to disobey. Now we're going to talk about Jesus. We got this virgin birth, and he was born of a virgin so that he would get his seed from God, and so that this sin that's in us wouldn't be in him. And we know we got a lot more knowledge about calling him, saying he doesn't have a sin nature. But there's something different between him and us, you know. And the Bible says that he's a type. We won't go there, but he's a type of Adam. The Bible talks of two Adams, okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 45. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they that are earthly, and is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly." What you got there is the Bible's telling us there were basically two Adams. There was a first Adam and a last Adam. We just looked at the first Adam. He was made here, according to this, he was made a living soul. You know, when God created him in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that's when, and this is something that we know, I don't hear it a lot, but when you were born, you became a living soul, okay? And we preach that you know, when you die, that you want that soul to go to heaven and live eternally. But that soul is going to live eternally whether it goes to heaven or not. It's the decision on is where do you want to spend eternity is the question. That he made them a living soul, and we're a living soul, and you've got a choice between living in the lake of fire or living with the Lord in heaven. So that's that part. It says here that the first Adam was natural. He was natural. He was that's how we start off before we get saved. We're called a natural man. The natural man understands not the Spirit of God, those kind of things. It said he was earthly. Well, look what he was made out of, right? He was made out of dirt. He was a dirt bag. And your father was a dirt bag, okay? And my father was a dirt bag, and your kids can say the same for you. You know, it's our lineage. He was made out of dirt, so he's earthly. And that's our natural tendency. We are not naturally spiritual. You become spiritual when you become born again and you have this alive spirit and the Holy Spirit of God living in you. But Adam, without a sin nature, disobeyed God. He made a choice. This last Adam is Jesus Christ. It says he's made a quickening spirit. Well, our text, Ephesians chapter 2, the first verse said, ye has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ, one of his purposes, one of the things he was made, he was manifest for, was to be able to give us spiritual life. And that's why he's a quickening spirit. And he's a quickening spirit because he was not made of earth and dirt. Jesus Christ is not a dirt bag. Okay? I'll go on record. He was conceived by the Spirit of God. Okay? And if you have any trouble with the deity of Christ, it also says in the verse that he is the Lord from heaven. Jesus Christ is God. Okay? So he's heavenly. And turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, I said that sin and used like an infirmity in the flesh. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So here's the question after Alex Tony. That was all the introduction. Okay. Here's the question. Adam had no sin nature. He didn't even have a knowledge of good and evil, and he sinned. We've got all excuses in the world. We were born in sin. You know, we're earthly, the whole bit. We've got all our... Okay. How did Jesus not sin? Because he didn't have a sin nature, sin in his flesh. He had a free will. Right in the garden, didn't he say something like, not my will, but thine be done. He had a free will, and yet he did not sin, says here, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, take the time. If we had 3 hours to do this, I'd love it because I got 3 hours worth of material. We could go to Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, and look at how he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And the devil hit the 3 points, the big three, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He hit them all. And I can just imagine as Jesus grew up, he had the same temptations that we do. The same temptations to disobey what he knows God told him not to do or what God doesn't want him to do. He says in the Bible in John that I do always those things that please him. Okay? How did he do that? Yeah, he obeyed God. He obeyed God. Let's look at something here. Isaiah chapter 7. If you can get a hold of this, and I don't mess this up, and the Lord can show you what I'm trying to say here, it's going to be something I believe is going to help you. And that's why we do these things. We don't do these lessons so that you leave mad at me and mad at God and all that kind of stuff. We do these things so that you can be helped. And my prayer is that you'll see something here that's going to help you. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, is the verse that prophesies, I don't know, about 740 years before it actually happened, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay? Look at the next verse. This is still part of the same prophecy, and it's tied to that prophecy. It's tied to Jesus Christ. It's tied to a virgin birth, and it says, butter and honey shall he eat, look at this, that he may know to refuse evil and choose good. How many of y'all would like some of that butter and honey that would give you the ability to know to choose good and refuse evil? Do we need to get a sign-up sheet? Yeah, I'd like some of that, you know, wouldn't you? It's in your lap. It is in your lap. Look, look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Give you some, a lot of this, I'm telling you, a lot of this you've heard over and over and over. And I'm just praying that you can kind of put it together today like God showed me to put it together. I know it's helped me, and I pray that it helps you. 2 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Milk, okay, is a typology of the words of God. All right, how do you get butter? You go to H-E-B, it's over there near the eggs, huh? No, butter is just a process that comes from milk. It's amount of work, right? You don't just snap your fingers and you get butter. You've got to take milk and you've got to churn it and you've got to do all the things to get butter. Guess what? God has given you milk to grow thereby. And as you work on that and you study to show thyself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, as you work on those things, God will turn that stuff to butter. And that butter is the thing that's going to help you. It gave Jesus Christ the ability as he grew up, learning God's words, to refuse evil and choose good because of the butter. Okay, turn to honey, Psalms 19. See what I'm getting at? Long story short, we'll run out of time. Jesus Christ was tempted in all ways as we are. And he didn't have any special, no sin nature super armor around him or any of that stuff. He was tempted just like us. But what he did is he took God's word seriously. He learned them from youth. We're going to look at some verses. And you know what? Every time there was a choice, he chose good and he refused evil. He obeyed God. Okay, look in Psalm 19, verses 10. More to be desired they are, we're talking about the words of God, more to be desired they are than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Honey is another one of those things where there's a little bit of work involved in it. It is something, but you had to do something to get it. You know what I mean? And so the Lord Jesus, he was to have butter and honey shall he eat so that he may know how to refuse evil and choose good. The definition of that is obedience. He learned obedience from those words of God, okay? Both of these, butter and honey, typify the word of God that has been its instructive and nutritional power. Turn back to, you're in Psalms, go to Isaiah chapter 50. I want to show you another prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ that spoke to, you know, God had provided him just what he provided us, his word. Okay? He gave him the milk and the honey that he needed to grow thereby. But look what else he gave him. Isaiah 50, verse 4. If you have any question whether this is in the context, you can read verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting. That's Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. You know what it did? It said he's obedient. He said he had the ear of the learned, and he had the tongue of the learned. Okay? God gave him an ability. He's given us the same thing. To hear and to learn those words. Thank God y'all are in here on a Sunday morning when it's really pretty fishing day. I think it's the opening weekend of archery season. I mean, dove season's still on. I mean, there's all kinds of great reasons not to be here. Y'all chose to come here today and hopefully get something out of this book, get some milk and some honey and help you grow. And the more of that you get in you, the more you get in you, the more you'll be able to do what Jesus Christ did, is to choose good and refuse evil. Look in Luke chapter 2. This was when Jesus Christ, you know, they didn't give an account. You know, the last time you get Jesus Christ, he's growing up, he's a baby. They go to Egypt to protect him from getting killed. They come back, and the next time you find him is in Luke chapter 2. And he's 12 years old about this time. And this is when his parents, they left Jesus in Jerusalem. And who? I thought you had him. I thought you had him. And they had to go back looking for him. And look in verse 46 or 45. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, and both hearing them and asking them questions. There's that learning ear and learned tongue, okay? And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, look at this. How is it ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? His father's business at that point was to learn the words of God and to get as much butter and honey in him so that he could do the job that God sent him here to do. And he went down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He was doing what he was prophesied to do. One more verse and we'll quit. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. There's some other verses you can go to if you want the notes. I don't know whether they're going to put them on the internet or not. But Mark chapter 1 verse 22 says when Jesus was saying his doctrine, he said it with authority. And Luke 4:32 says his doctrine was word with power. But Hebrews chapter 5, I might have done it. I'm either in the wrong place or I got the wrong verse. Let me find it. Typo. Kate, aren't you loving this? Okay, Hebrews chapter 5, verse... Okay, I was right. I was in the wrong place in my Bible. Oh, can't count it, Cade. You know, in our regular Sunday school, and more importantly, in the Bible study, where the men get up and teach, one of the cardinal rules of doing a lesson is you go over and you can think you know John 3:16, but when you write it down, you go check and make sure it says what you want it to say. Okay, because you get up here, it won't say what you wanted. You'll be at the wrong place, and there's typos, you know, that can mess you up. Spell check can fix a word spell, but it sure can't get a right verse. Okay, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, this is Jesus Christ. Look down in verse 8. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. What I said all this to say, and what God dealt with me about this is, Jesus Christ didn't have any unfair advantage. Okay, it's amazing what he did. He lived a totally sinless life, and he led a perfectly sinless life, not because he didn't have a sin nature, not because he obeyed God. How simple is that? He obeyed God. Whenever a choice was made, he chose good, and he refused evil. And here's the secret. He was able to do it because he had the butter and the honey that we have. We have got the same thing in our life. We've got the same milk and honey, butter and honey to work with. We have the same ability to choose good and refuse evil. Obedience is a choice. Jesus always chose to obey the Father. Okay? And the more you apply yourself to that book, the easier it becomes to obey. Now, this is where the elderly and the younger need to talk. Because I can guarantee you in my life, the more I apply myself and commit myself and believe and trust and pour myself into trying to get that ear of the learned and tongue of the learned and to know this book, the easier it is for me, I'm not perfect, I'm not sinless, but the easier it is for me to say no to evil and to choose good. Because this is what's making me do it. It's not me. And the quicker, young folks, the quicker you can commit to this book being the authority in your life, the better. It will save you miles and miles of muddy ditches all the way through life. After salvation, you're still in sin. We all can admit to that. But because it's still in your flesh and you choose to obey it, that's why. It's not any more difficult or complicated than that. But now that you're that new creature, you ought at least when you sin, go, that ain't right. You ought to be listening to the Holy Spirit's in you trying to say that. So I hope somehow you got something out of this as far as what that sin nature is that people say that you had and said that he didn't have. Okay? You got it. It's an infirmity of your flesh. It's a birth defect. And he was able to defeat all of that because he just simply obeyed God. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to do Sunday school. And Father, I do pray for Pastor and his teaching and preaching up there in Wisconsin. I pray that you would bless the folks here. And Father, I pray that we would just seek after you and commit to you and commit to your word. And Lord, that we would just try to get as much of it in us as possible so that we too could choose good and refuse evil. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.